Yeah. And that
apples froze, it's cold, you know?
That and we don't have enough guns. I mean, you know, when I touched base with you this morning, I mean, I haven't had a chance to really sort of go through the news of the day, as it were. I'm still in sort of some long forms. And apparently another shooting outside the Empire State Building. It appears to be 12, at least 12 people were shot. Two people were killed.
The guy who lost his job is an old story. And again, we don't know all the details yet, but I always point this out on your show because I love when the gun nuts say, oh, you know, you couldn't have stopped this. Every single time, there's something. You know, to go through it quickly again, Columbine got their guns from gun shows without a background check. You know, Jared Loughner, the military declared him to be a drug abuser, which is a category of people that are not allowed to buy guns but just didn't bother to report it. You know, Sung Ho Chi, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, of Virginia Tech, the shooter there, who had had a local judge adjudicate him as mentally, I don't know what the right word is, incompetent. That's probably not PC. I'm not sure what the word is. But he was not able, he should not have been able to buy a gun, and Virginia didn't share the records. I mean, I'm just telling you, in the case of the shooter in Aurora, when any single human being buys 6,000 rounds in a week in a country that cares about safety, that would set off alarms. You know what I mean? Not to mention that his psychiatrist warned the university, as required by law, that he might be a danger to them, but somehow it's not required by law that warning also be a red flag for someone buying 6,000 bullets and guns. I mean, most of the, you know, again, so we don't know, and there are some of these things would happen. Look, they happen in Europe where there's much more gun control than here. But, you know, we're a country right now that has over 88 guns, like 89 guns per every 100 people. Second in line is Yemen, good old Yemen, with 54, and you have to go down to 45 guns per 100 people to get to the next one, which is Switzerland, you know, who still has, shockingly, even Switzerland, where they do actually have well-regulated militias, where they do background checks, where they do psychological tests before people get their guns because people join the military there. There's still a much higher, you know, seven times higher gun rate of homicide by firearm in Switzerland than there is in England. I mean, these things are all easy to if you don't want to listen to the liars on the right, these are pretty easy to track. And I think to me what sums up where we are right now is The Onion, which put out an article this week that says nation celebrates full week without deadly mass shooting, just put up on their site, update, never mind. That's where we are.
You know, if you had told me 6 to 8 months ago that, you know, every third or fourth of our talks on a Friday would be wrapping up one of these shootings, I would have said there's just no way. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're related. But when I contemplate the story this week that the NYPD was spying on Muslims to the extent that it was cataloging every Muslim who had Americanized their last name, right? Which is, of course, you know, what we were. Well, my name was Sidursky.
Well, we all did when we came
right,
over
exactly.
Here.
Right, exactly. And what is sort of theoretically encouraged, you know, the melting pot. So that's the part that melts off. Cataloging all these people, going and literally infiltrating. And infiltrating is just the right word from the perspective of the cops. It's not from when you talk about, you know, the idea of infiltrating a social group, you know, a Muslim social group at a college. The idea that there was this type of effort, a six-year effort, which led to not a single investigation, not a single lead. In other words, essentially just spying on people who just couldn't be any better, you know, any less of a threat to us.
We go through with other people, I mean, just think about it for a second, Sam. Somebody with a Muslim background tried in a pretty failed manner two times, once to set their shoe on fire, the other time to set their junk on fire. And think about what we've had to go through at airports because of that. I mean, like, literally, you can't bring water in, but you can bring baby formula, but you can't bring this, and you gotta have a wand stuck on you, and you gotta have somebody grope you and go through things that may cause, you know, that may have radiation in them that cause cancer later on. And I mean, the number of ridiculous things we have to go through just to get on an airplane. And these are people that literally are willfully allowing people, because of the strength of one lobby, willfully, and they're not strong, by the way, they're just part of the team. They're allowing. I mean, again, I'm tired of mincing words at this point. The NRA is a terrorist organization. That is what they are. All right, they empower terrorists. They empower crazy people. And at this point, they know that people are dying. And they have their blood well beyond on their hands. They're swimming in pools of blood. And I'm really at the point where I'm ready to say, really, that at this point, anybody in Congress who follows their agenda should really almost be considered to be a part of the whole thing, quite frankly.
Well,
being accomplice to murder, because that's what you're doing.
Where we spend our resources. I mean, you know, it's just stunning. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just the way that we spend our resources in this country is just bizarre to me. It's just bizarre, you know, because, I mean, you know, aside from the fact that we are just we're expending the resource of destroying our civil liberties, you know, because once you establish that you have this surveillance. I mean, look. I mean, you know, and I know that we're sort of toggling back and forth here and maybe slightly talking past each other, but not exactly.
What you're saying is, to me, is hugely, I mean, I don't think so, you know, Sam, because I think these are parts of the same story.
Right.
Look at how much we're willing to go so far beyond what makes any common sense.
Exactly.
To people who have done nothing. You know, you can use the Patriot Act to go and look into somebody's underwear purchases because it might be suspicious. You know, you can. I mean, I remember saying that right after John Ashcroft was elected. I wrote one of my first columns on guns back in 2000. You know, after Bush was elected and John Ashcroft became AG, and how the first thing he did, he came in. You know, he supported the Patriot Act. He was just ready to go through everybody's personal records, banking records, for doing nothing. But he instituted this thing. You know, instituted the program where they would destroy gun records from background checks after 24 hours. So it's like, let's go way overboard and take away civil liberties from people that haven't done anything, but in an area where we don't do anything and where we would just have some common sense measures that don't do anything to anybody's civil liberties. I'm sorry, having to go through a 2-minute background check to buy a gun, not so much of a drag on your civil liberties.
Right. And exactly. I mean, this is exactly it. Because, you know, the thing that people really have to understand about this Muslim spying thing is that the way that we know there was no leads from this demographics unit, they called it, or now they call it some other type of zone. I don't know. They keep changing the name. Zone assessment unit, I think they call it. The way that we know this is actually part of an ongoing lawsuit over the Handschuh case, which was 40 years ago, about spying on, at that time, students and, you know, the hippies and supposed terrorist groups, but of course that went far afield from that. And so the idea of what we're willing to expend in terms of dollar resources and in terms of our civil liberties relative to spending a couple of bucks, building an infrastructure where we can control guns a little bit more, and giving up that supposed part of our civil liberties, it's just absurd. It's just
absurd. Well, you know what's
upsetting
about it is that again, I don't think any of it actually ever has to do with what's good for the people of this country. I mean, our government is so freaking corrupt at this point that there's a reason why your civil liberties are beginning taken away. Because you remember, what the hell is his name, Chertoff, who just happened to be, you know, either on the board or one of the officers of the company that was creating these new
rapid scan
machines that scan you naked at the airport. So the interests are aligned for taking away all of our civil liberties, the financial interests when it comes to the other things. But when it comes to guns, the financial power is with the NRA.
Right.
If you could get groups that were anti-gun that had five times as much money to spend as the NRA, it'd be amazing how you'd suddenly see that change.
Right.
And it just reminds you how corrupt all these people are. How few, and I won't say all, because there are some few and fantastic exceptions to that. But I mean, how corrupt so many of them are. Who all that they care about in the short term is their own political reelection and thinking 5 years down the road where they want to be a lobbyist. And it's just maddening.
Homeland Security turns out to be just a huge, huge, I mean, talk about teat. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is when you think about Alan Simpson and his, you know, there's all these old people sucking off 300 million teat suckers. And the teat,
right.
And the teat that he's talking about, of course, has been paid into by those 300 million people. Or
what you hear me talking about is the $695 billion defense industry.
Right, and the Homeland Security budget, which of course is...
Six times as much as it is China, our
right.
next biggest... I mean... Go ahead.
Well, no, but you're right. But the point's the same. Is that when you look at, you know, the fact that somebody's got a tank down, you know, this nut job in Lubbock, Texas wants a tank so that, you know, when the UN comes to take away his, I don't know what, his, you know, this, or I guess it's a judge down there, when the UN comes in to take away his black robes or something, or to make him wear a blue robe or whatever the nut job thinks, they got a tank down there in Lubbock now. As part of the Homeland Security, it's just basically the real teat suckers are just about everybody else. And
that's exactly right.
And what
well,
it does
so
is
excuse me.
I mean, we see it with private prisons. We see it with everything. Yes, it's
a crisis.
Yeah.
I've got a piece coming out in Politico this weekend about, you know, about all this ridiculousness and about what Joe Biden said, which we've discussed, and the flat guaranteeing, and trying to lay out what I think for the Obama administration what flat guarantee means, because it should be pretty straightforward, but sometimes to politicians it's not, that Social Security shouldn't be touched. And there's so many ways, there's so much wasteful crap, there's subsidies to oil companies and mega farms and sugar barons and God knows what else, there's a cap on payroll taxes that stops at $110,000, which is regressive and ridiculous. There's us not allowing reimportation of prescription drugs and banning mass or bulk negotiation by our own government, which would save us countless millions upon hundreds of millions and probably much more than that. There's a war on drugs where we throw people into jail, hurt our productivity, and, you know, and pay money to house people for selling a million other things, you know, and then there's, of course, the $695 billion defense industry we just discussed, which you easily could cut by a third, and then what? We have three times as much as the biggest country? I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's not that. It's just what we choose to spend resources on,
right.
You know? And we don't choose to spend resources on preventing people from getting guns. We don't choose to. We let the NRA buy people off. We let the NRA. I mean, you know, again, they're a terrorist organization. And at this point, I will firmly say they're committing treason, because they're empowering people that want to hurt this country and hurt the people of this country, and they're doing it to make money. They're profiting off of people in this country dying. And I'm just tired of even sugarcoating it in the slightest bit. They're traitors and they're blood merchants. And, you know, we're seeing this stuff happen every week, and we have resources, we have common sense measures, we know work, we have resources we could bring to bear on all this stuff, but we're doing none of that because they're telling us not to.
It's pretty stunning. What is actually really stunning is that what is it going to take? I mean, what actually has to happen, do you think would have to happen at this point? To actually see some type of movement on gun control. I mean, we're literally at the point where it's been close now, where we're almost on a bi-weekly basis, we're coming in and we're talking about some type of mass shooting, right? I mean, it's every like 3 weeks now. I mean, how many?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean,
before this, there had been a calculation done that since, and I did it with somebody else, that since the shooting at the cafe in downtown Seattle at the end of May, that we'd had on average a shooting, a mass shooting, meaning at least two people shot, in a shooting at once every 8.8 days since then.
And we should also say that aside from mass shootings, last night, from Thursday evening to Friday morning, 13 people in Chicago were shot. 13 people.
And that's just considered, like, par for the course.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what will it take? Yeah, I mean, that is a fantastic question. You know, I work with Mayors Against Illegal Guns. We have other groups that we work alongside. There have been some fantastic bills and you know, Delaware passed some bills to that were common sense to control guns in meaningful ways. You know, there have been some people who have done great jobs. You know, in the state of Pennsylvania, Ceasefire PA has pushed measures to get things where localities have gone on their own and passed laws so people would have to report lost and stolen guns. This may sound like small stuff, but the only way you do it is you begin with the small stuff. You know, I mean, in other words, these are grassroots movements where people are rising up against this. And I think the answer to your question is, sadly, is the NRA is going to lose for two reasons. One, they're going to lose because of all the damage they've wrought. Because at some point, there are going to be more single-issue voters on this issue than there are on their side, because there are going to be so many people affected by gun violence. It's going to become so commonplace. As it is becoming right now. It's no longer, you can no longer just say, you know, oh, well, it only happens in those communities, which, by the way, I'm not justifying, as you know, in any way, but I'm sure a lot of politicians said that. It will be coming to the Aurora, Colorados, you know, the suburban areas, as it already is. So there's that. That, I think, is the first thing. And the second thing, as we've discussed, is demographics. Just as they are on the losing side of gay marriage and immigration and women's rights and everything else, because the people that are supporting these nuts are all very, very old, generally fat, bald, white guys, there will be a point where they don't play nearly as big a role in our country. In fact, they're already not playing as big a role, which is why Antonin Scalia unleashed super PACs on us, and why they're suppressing the vote in so many states, because it's already happening. Well, imagine 4 or 8 years from now, where because of growth of Hispanic population, others, that Texas is a swing state. You know what I mean? I mean, when we get to that point, they're not going to be able to stop this thing. You know, gun ownership has gone down. It used to be in the 1970s, 1 in 2 households owned a gun. Now it's 1 in 3. A little bit below that, I think 32% the most recent thing, because people are moving to suburbs and cities. Rural areas are dying out. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm even being un-PC by saying that, but that's just the simple truth. So they're on the losing side of this. They will lose. The only question is how many innocent people they will kill in the meantime, so they can pocket their you know, so that Wayne LaPierre can keep going to the Palm every week for lunch.
And then, the question, of course, is which other country in the nation, I mean, excuse me, which other country in the world will they go to pump their profits, right? I mean, it's just sort of like, it's like tobacco.
Well, it's the tobacco industry. Right. Right? It's exactly the tobacco industry and now the global warming guys for oil. You deny for a while. You bring up bogus studies, so even though everybody knows for years, 20, 30, 40 years, that what you're saying is complete crap, you create all your own fake studies and you create your own fake media organizations. The NRA has their own radio, their magazines that people buy. They obviously, Rush Limbaugh and Fox News do their bidding. They bought off the Daily Caller in a rather hysterical way. You know, they might as well call themselves the NRA News at this point. You know, so you do all that stuff, but you're right. I mean, look what the tobacco industry eventually did when we passed laws here. They moved on to Asia. I'm sure that, you know, they're already, let's face it, the arms dealers are already in a lot of those places, but who knows, maybe they'll find a way to make life even more miserable in other countries once they've lost their edge here. And again, for people who think, oh, we can't win, it will happen. You know, I mean, demographics is destiny, and the truth is that, sadly, I see it every day because I see the number of people that are joining groups like the ones I'm aligned with because somebody they love was shot because of the policies the NRA enacts. So, you know, they will lose. I just would encourage people who listen who think this isn't an important issue wherever you live. It is an important issue. And pretty soon, don't be surprised if it affects somebody you know, because this is not just a coincidence. These things are now starting to proliferate.
And, you know, we should say, I mean, I don't know the background of this guy, but I think, you know, we're also heading into I think it's just going to be a very difficult period for this country in terms of like this type of gun violence, because we have a situation now where you have just our military personnel who are returning from Iraq and will hopefully over the next couple of years be returning from Afghanistan. You know, we have had, I think, in the past, I saw some stat the other day that I think it's in the past, 130 days, almost every single one of those days, an active duty military personnel has committed suicide. And these are people whose lives have just been destroyed by, multiple tours in theater and all of the implications of that, seeing horrible things, trying to reintegrate back into life, which becomes extremely difficult. I mean, to be taken from sort of one context and then drop back into your life. It's just, it seems to be
a violent situation, and then you're supposed to readjust easily.
And undoubtedly, we're also going to have, it's not going to be many, but there are going to be people who have just sort of lost it over there and are going to come back and are going to get, engage. And, I remember we had that.
They've got the training.
Yeah.
They may come back and have some mental issues from having been in situations that no human being should ever have to endure. And they've got the training to use and the easy access to weapons and the encouragement from the NRA and Rush Limbaugh that President Obama's coming to get your guns, so you'd better stock up and start shooting in all directions. And this is what the report said from Homeland Security in 2009,
right.
the one that was asked for and instituted by George W. Bush's administration, but, of course, not released until Obama came in, so the right wing freaked out. Janet Napolitano got rid of it, and they shut down the whole agents, part of the agency they had looking at domestic terrorism. I mean, one of the guy who wrote that report has written a lot about this. I think he's got a book coming out on it. He wrote an article for Salon the other day on how scary this stuff was, and that had that unit still been together, that we might have known that what happened in Wisconsin was coming, for example. Not that the FBI wasn't watching him somewhat too, but I'm just making the point that these guys, I love how the right screams and yells about political correctness and the left. Well, their political correctness has maybe led to what's happened. And the fact that Obama and Napolitano gave into that just sickens me. So they've now got one person working on this where they used to have a whole team of people, and that's at least what this gentleman was saying in his piece. And you do have to worry about that. And if you really want to know how evil the NRA are on another level, they've gotten in a fight with the Department of Defense, because what you've got is you've got an epidemic of soldiers returning home from numerous tours, like what you just were talking about, and can't readjust to society, and buying guns and killing themselves. And so the Department of Defense was trying to pass certain statutes and things so they could keep track of who had weapons among veterans, and the NRA has fought them and is trying to block it. Because the NRA wants to sell more guns, even if that's the one that you put in your mouth and shoot yourself with, because you can't readjust to life here. And even if you would have had a chance, had the military gotten to you and known that you had that gun, that's no. Just like they won't protect anybody else, the people that have gone and fought for us, they have no interest in protecting once they come home, if it gets in the way of their profits.
Well, it's people that kill themselves.
Talk about treason.
It's people that kill themselves, Cliff, not guns. And
that's right. That's right. The gun has nothing to do with it.
All right, well,
you can really do a great job killing yourself, for example, with a spork.
Let's...
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Maybe if we were to rename these things forcible shootings, then the Republicans would care.
I like the way you segued into that. Of course, right. If there was some way for us to parse this type of gun ownership,
honest shootings, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.